This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best what you people score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shower with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And on the heels of just a glorious Thanksgiving weekend, Hanukkah is here. Thanksgiving went off without a hitch, hopefully for everyone out there, certainly for me. The Rangers are winning. The Knicks with a big win. The Jets with a win. The Mets are winning free agency. The Giants with a win over the Eagles. I mean, welcome back to work on Monday, November the 29th. Good morning. And a happy Thanksgiving and a happy Hanukkah to my best friend, Rick DiPietro.
Muzzle, muzzle, booby, muzzle. Things are happening, David. Things
yes,
are
they
happening.
Are.
The tide is turning. What a first night. What a crazy first night of Hanukkah for you.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, could you ask for anything more? Giants win. Offense is dynamic.
Just dynamic.
Explosive.
Oh, you know. And you probably have a similar feel. You're happy your team wins, but you feel like your eyes have been burned to the core by watching your team play sometimes, right?
Oh, both of those games.
Oh, God.
I mean, we had to watch both of those. I watched the Jets game first, which was brutal. I mean, Zach Wilson doesn't look any better. And then I have to turn around and watch that slop. In a game that you win, but you probably should have lost.
You should have lost. I mean, the Giants had every opportunity. It almost felt like they were trying to lose the game. Boy, the Giants offense is just, it's just brutal. And I don't think Jason Garrett was great, but you see that what you're working with when you're the Giants offensive coordinator is really not a lot.
No, it's not much. It really isn't. We can't run the ball. I mean, that's clear. I mean, Saquon Barkley had the one run for 32 yards. Other than that, I mean, 12 carries for 8 yards. 12 carries for 8 yards. I mean, you scored 3 points in the first half. You end up scoring 13. And if Jalen Reagor was any good, I mean, you probably end up losing that game.
You should have lost the game.
What do
really?
We say? We're not going to complain about wins.
Well, no, listen, I'm not complaining, but we can still analyze. Right? I'm not complaining about the win. And you know what? Beating the Eagles, when the Eagles need to win, the Eagles had a chance to get into the postseason. Like with the added playoff team, they were 5-6. They win that game. They're 6-6. Then they played the Jets. You have to think they have a very good chance to win that game. All of a sudden, the Eagles are going to be a playoff team. To do that to the Eagles when the Giants have very little of anything to play for, it felt wonderful yesterday. Wonderful to know that Andrew Gunling and his fancy Philadelphia Eagles, the Giants handed them probably the death knell to their season.
Well, how could it not? And I didn't even realize this going into the game. I know the Giants have struggled against Philly, but I mean, I think struggle is probably an understatement. I didn't realize going into this game, the Giants were 2-12 against the Eagles.
2-12 in their last 14. Yep. Over
That's
the last
crazy.
Seasons. That's terrible.
That's terrible. Jalen Hurts didn't look good at all.
He's awful.
Well, I wouldn't say he's awful. He had a bad game.
He had an awful game. You're right. Maybe he's not awful. He was awful yesterday. The play at the end of the first half was an embarrassment for him. He got picked off at the goal line by Darnay Holmes. And all that, and Philadelphia still had not one but two chances to score the winning touchdown yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you had four turnovers. Right? I mean, it's the one. I mean, Philly has. And they've been playing pretty good football. I mean, they run the hell out of the football is what they've been doing. And I think they're in their previous four games, they only had two turnovers. You had four turnovers yesterday. See, that's the problem. I mean, your defense continues to turn the other team over. I mean, that's an interception in eight straight. They've had an interception in eight straight games, a turnover in every game this season.
Every game? And they were plus four. I mean, but here's the thing. And again, I'm not complaining. I'm thrilled with the win. Made me feel great yesterday. But to be plus four in the turnover margin and barely hang on to win the game just shows you how poorly you were offensively yesterday.
Well, see, that's the thing, though. I mean, listen, someone was going to pay the price, and Jason Garrett paid the price. He wasn't Joe Judge's hire. That was Dave Gettleman in ownership. They like Jason Garrett a lot. You know, first-time head coach. Let's put an offensive coordinator here that's been a head coach you can lean on. So, I mean, there's been friction, it feels like, the entire time with those two. He gets fired. Now it's Freddie Kitchens. And it looked different. I mean, some of it looked different. And it looked like they were trying to go to Golladay more. They were trying to get the ball in Saquon Barkley's hands more. But it was more of the same. It was more of a bad offense.
But that's what they are. And the fact you have to play Nate Solder at right tackle makes you think two things. First of all, he's just bad. I mean, and Will Hernandez is just bad. Like, Thomas is good. He's the one guy you look at and you say, I have confidence in him. But how bad is Matt Peart that you can't get him to play right tackle? Shouldn't that be like a mandate? The offensive line is awful. Solder is terrible. Peart has to be the right tackle. So how bad is this guy that you can't get him into the game to be the right tackle?
Yeah, I mean, it must be pretty bad. Because at this point, I mean, there's no allegiance to Nate Solder, right?
Well, got to figure this is it for him, right?
Yeah, I mean, but again, I mean, you're going to put on the field who you think gives you the best chance to go out there and actually move the football and score points. So to your point, you're right. I mean, if it feels like Peart should be better than Nate Solder, but the fact that Nate Solder is playing and Peart isn't says a lot about Matt Peart at the moment. So, listen, Dave, the other positive to come out of yesterday with all the reporting is that it looks like Dave Gettleman is...
Yes.
Is going to retire or step away after the season.
But we knew that. I mean, yes, the report came out like officially yesterday, but we knew this was going to happen. That Gettleman is going, and the Giants, for some reason, like the Giants, Jason Garrett, you stink, goodbye. And then the report came out yesterday that that Joe Judge didn't even want him back this year. I don't know if you saw that one. He wanted him back at all this season. But yes, Gettleman, that ship has sailed. He's going to be done. And I think almost every Giants fan to a man and woman is thrilled that that's the case.
Yeah, but more importantly now, too, and we've been talking about this for the last couple months, and people come after us. Why are you talking about the Giants, you know, making a deal in the offseason for a quarterback? We got Daniel Jones. Well, you're going to have to make a decision on Daniel Jones because I don't know if Daniel Jones is the guy. Do you think that Daniel Jones at the moment is the guy moving forward?
No, I don't. But I never felt like that. Like, the most I felt like Daniel Jones is the guy was year one. Year one, I watched him. I was like, you know what? This is the guy. Right? This is going to be the guy. That Tampa game, he gave you games where he looked dynamic, really. And since year one, years two and three, he's given you very little of, oh, he looks like he's the guy. He's athletic. He runs the ball well. But is he good? I don't think he's all that good. I don't think he's anything more than average.
Yeah, but he's not that. I mean, he's athletic, but he's not Lamar Jackson.
No, 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 no. No, he's an athletic guy. He can do things when you put the ball in his hands, but he's not like special athletic. Nothing, not like Josh Allen, not like Lamar Jackson, not like one of those kind of guys.
No, I think his best attributes are he's tough. We clearly know he's tough, and his demeanor. And those are the two things I like most about Daniel Jones. As far as his ability to play at a high level at that position and make the players like elevate the players around him. Like, I don't know if that's possible for him. I don't. Well, I mean, if I were to tell you before the game that you'd beat the Eagles, which is great. Awesome.
Great.
You beat the Eagles.
Great.
I don't care what it looks like. You beat the Eagles. That's great. Did you even know who he was before the game? Chris Myrick would be the one that caught the touchdown pass?
No.
Did you know who he was?
I knew who he was. I didn't know who he was. And then I knew who he was on Monday against the Bucs because they had that 4th-and-1 play and they were looking towards him, which seemed inexplainable. And then he barely caught that one touchdown yesterday.
It was a nice catch, though. The way he secured it on the back of his leg was awesome.
Just catch it normal, though, right? There's no degree of difficulty there.
Well, there's another guy who's got more touchdowns than Kenny Golladay. Add him to the list.
Is this funny, though? Is this a funny bit? I don't understand.
No, I'm not trying to be funny. It's the reality. I mean, you went out and spent all that money on Kenny Golladay. I mean, he had 3 catches yesterday. Now, granted, most of his catches are for first downs, but he still hasn't scored a touchdown. Wasn't he supposed to be your red zone threat?
He's been a tremendous disappointment. Well, you know what I thought with Golladay? Right, this guy's so good with the one-on-one ball. Throw the ball up, let him make a play, because more often than not, he's going to make the play as opposed to the defensive back. And that, I don't remember once this year where it's like, you know what, let's just send him deep, throw the ball up, because that's the advantage you have with Golladay. Like, it feels like they don't even use him properly.
Kenny Golladay. No, it's just it's slant after slant after slant. I mean, he had one yesterday. He hit him right in the stomach. I mean, it was contested. He dropped it. Evan Engram almost cost you another interception yesterday. Ball right through his hands.
God.
He drives me crazy, and I'm not even a Giants fan.
I mean, you can't wait for the season to end just because you can't wait to move on from some of these guys that drive you insane. I'll tell you who's good, though. Really good. Xavier McKinney is a really good player.
He's really good player. No, he's a playmaker. I thought James Bradbury played well yesterday.
He played great. Devontae Smith, 2 catches for 22 yards. And he's been really good lately.
No, he's been really good. And then, I mean, Dallas Goedert did nothing yesterday. Right?
Dallas Goedert had one catch. He had one catch.
Yeah, for 0 yards. One catch for zero yards.
So he almost did absolutely nothing yesterday.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
No, listen, I mean, your defense won you that game. Let's be honest. I mean, your defense played really well.
Was really good. The defense and just the lack of execution from Jalen Hurts won the Giants the game.
Yeah, and it also helped that Kelsey was out and the replacement center decided to get silly and take some penalties that cost the Eagles there at the end of that first half.
Awful, and you feel the same way with the Jets, at least I would think you do, is that you watch these games and even in wins, and I'm not complaining about the win. I'm not. I'm thrilled to beat the Eagles, and I still have an awe. I thought maybe they'd throw Nate Sudfeld out there yesterday, like just to see what he has because it's such a big moment. But it's just like you watch these games and you're like, God, we're going to win, but we stink. Like it's painful to watch. And it's not even the painful to watch. You watch good football and then you watch the Jets and the Giants play and you realize we are nowhere near good football right now.
See, well, that's the thing, though, right? Like you're at this point of the season where, I mean, you win that game, so now you're 4-7. But the reality is you're not going to be. I mean, the way Miami's defense is playing right now, you go into Miami, you feel good about that? Probably not.
No.
Right?
Not at all.
Not at all. So, when you're at this point of the season, there needs to be some positive taken away from the win. Because otherwise, what's the win worth? You know what I'm saying? It's the Jets winning yesterday. Like, it feels good to win in the moment. But what were the positives you took out of the win? Did Zach Wilson look great? No, he looked the same.
I thought he might have looked worse yesterday.
Yeah, he looked bad, and he's clearly not healthy, right? Like, his knee is not... I mean, you saw him limp off the field. His knee is still not right. So, I win that game for what? Because it feels good to win, but it's only going to affect me down the road and how high I draft in the draft. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is... Like, at this point of the season, like, for both teams, but we're talking about the Giants right now, you win that game, and it feels awesome to beat the Eagles.
It does.
But you're not going to be a playoff team. So what you wanted to see is, okay, yeah, Xavier McKinney, he looks good. Defense look good. But what you want to see is Saquon Barkley have a game. Daniel Jones have a game. Kenny Galladay have a game. Like, that's what you're trying. Like, those are the positives you need to see moving forward.
Because
those are the biggest questions. Like, what am I doing with Saquon? What am I doing with Daniel Jones? 100%
right. And that's what you want to see. And you want some answers, right? Like, we're still out here looking for answers. Is Daniel Jones the quarterback of the future? Do I believe in Saquon Barkley that he's going to be the running back of the future and I want to extend him? Is Zach Wilson, you know, going to show me something this year where I say to myself, boy, this is the quarterback that you take with the second overall pick? And the answer to all those questions are Jones didn't look good. Barkley didn't look good. Wilson didn't look good. So the answers you really wanted, like you wanted to win, sure, but you wanted to win with these couple of things and you didn't get any of those things that you were looking for.
None of them. And that's the upsetting part for me watching both of these games yesterday. And I'll answer the question. I don't think Daniel Jones is your quarterback moving forward.
So yesterday kind of defined for you, because you've been on the fence. Never once have you said, I feel definitively that he's not the guy. Today, after watching another performance yesterday, you can sit here and say, you know what? I do not feel like he's the guy.
It just feels like more of the same, Dave. It just feels like more of the same. Like Daniel Jones he's just okay. I think that's who he is. He's just okay. I like the kid a lot. I like everything about the kid. I just don't know. I mean, you put him in a bad spot when you drafted him 6th overall. That's not fair to the kid. So the expectations for the kid are probably too high. But I'm telling you right now, and I mentioned this a couple months ago, if there's any way the Giants could trade for Russell Wilson, that's exactly what I would do. That would change things instantly for this team.
It's hard to argue. And right now, what do you have? You have 6-7? Boy, 4-7. This draft is going to be so exciting. The Jets at the moment go 4-5. And of course, you're rooting for Washington tonight because they play Seattle. And then the Giants right now go 6-7. How exciting is this draft going to be?
I have a hard time believing. See, here's for me the problem with Daniel Jones. Is the offensive line good?
No.
I don't think the offensive line is terrible, though. I honestly don't think the offensive line is terrible. And we blame Jason Garrett. Now we had
Freddie
Kitchens.
I think the offensive line is terrible.
See, I don't think it's terrible. It's terrible. I don't, because I've seen bad offensive lines. And when the quarterback, I mean, a better quarterback can make a bad offensive line look decent. And that's to my point. I don't think Daniel Jones is able to elevate everyone else around him. Like, you meaning to tell me, even without Tony playing yesterday and without Sterling Shepard playing yesterday.
Right.
With Galladay, Slayton, Ingram, Ross, Saquon, Devontae Booker, that if Russell Wilson is your quarterback and you get four turnovers, you're not going to score more than 13 points?
Well, I think two things can be true. Daniel Jones could not be the answer, and the offensive line, in addition, is also bad. No, of course I agree with you. I think
But Dave, let me ask you a question. Last season was, I mean, and you can go to Pro Football Focus, whatever you want. Were the Chargers not one of the worst offensive lines in football?
Awful.
Did you know immediately that Justin Herbert could play?
Yep.
How about Cincinnati? How was their offensive line?
Terrible.
Did you know if Joe Burrow could play?
Yep.
Okay, we're in year three. Offensive line's not great. Do you know if Daniel Jones can play yet?
Nope. It's the same thing every week.
It's the same thing every week. So, I mean, how many weeks are you going to go asking the same question over and over and over
again? I don't disagree with you. Not even a little bit. I think that Daniel Jones, at best, is a question mark. At worst, is not the answer. And in addition to that, I think the offensive line is also terrible. That's my take. I think both can be true separately. 1-800-919-3776. So, Giants win. Jets win. Mets are winning. Thanksgiving, we all win. 1-800-919-3776. Now, we should go to break. Before we do, do you have any last question or comment or anything before we do that, though? No?
No.
Okay.
But by the way, the text exchange we had going this holiday was phenomenal.
You loved
it? Back and forth. I thought it was great.
It was. You know what? It had jokes. It was heartfelt. It had emotion. It had everything. I was very involved. Like I feel like I've taken my group texting to the next level.
Yo, right? I mean, there's no more question marks about you and group texting. I'll say
nope.
that. Those
nope.
have been answered.
I'm in. I jumped
you
in with
are
both.
Fully
feet.
In.
Yep. Fully in. All right. So you don't have anything else to say? Like a quick yes or no? And nothing like that.
I will never make that mistake again. Never.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it was nice. We all had a great weekend, right? I mean, it was Thanksgiving weekend. RJ gets the win yesterday as Niners beat up on Kirk Cousins, who lined up under right guard in a big moment yesterday, which was interesting. The Giants win makes me feel good. The Jets win makes you feel good. So, I guess not all of us, right? I guess Santiago on Thanksgiving Day didn't have in fact a winner. Oh, well, that's unfortunate. I'm sorry about that, Raymond.
You don't need to lie. I don't need you going out here on the airways and spreading lies that you feel sorry for me. You've made clear what kind of guy you are. I mean, don't think I didn't catch you referencing Andrew Gunling out of nowhere in the middle of that Eagles rant in the first segment. It's always about other people with you. Notice
well,
that.
I'm pleased that your Cowboys lost. Yes, this weekend.
He's a schadenfreude. We went over.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Andrew Gunling didn't reach out to you at all this week about Giants Eagles, right?
No, he doesn't, because he knows what I'm capable of.
Not one word.
Not one word.
But here you are throwing bombs at him in the first segment. No, I don't think I didn't notice that.
Dave is the guy.
I know what you're all about.
No, let me explain something to you, Santi. This is, don't fight this fight. Do not fight this fight. Like, during the course of my career, there were certain guys, because it's all fun. Your family, your brothers in the locker room, and you would play pranks and everything else. And there was always that one or two guys that you know. Don't play a prank on this guy, because he doesn't know where the line is at.
That's right.
Dave is that guy.
I do not know where the line is at. That's right. Yeah, I mean, he could not be more correct. And I got to tell you, watching the Cowboys and 500 yards of offense from the Raiders on Thanksgiving Day, I mean, the turkey tasted that much better. The mashed sweet potatoes, that much more delicious. It was a Thanksgiving from heaven is what it was.
Ah. Why are you dressed like Steve Jobs right now? I don't understand this.
You know what? He was a powerful, successful guy, and I'm trying to live in those footsteps.
Yeah, but it's spooky, though.
The world is looking for another Steve Jobs.
It's like a floating head on the screen right now. That's all I see.
Listen, I'm sorry. Listen, I grabbed a black T-shirt, and now I have a bobbling Steve Jobs head. I'm sorry.
It's a very high-necked T-shirt, though. It's extremely high.
What, you
it's
almost pull it down? What
it's like a mock
for?
Turtleneck.
It's not, it's a T-shirt. Look, you can see my arms. It's a T-shirt.
Look at those biceps. Oof.
Those are not biceps. Those are like
those
flabby
are
things.
Those are gorgeous.
Those are played football on Thanksgiving, by the way.
Stop burying the lead, too. Give the Knicks some credit, too. I despise the Hawks, and we beat the Hawks. Bring the Knicks into the mix.
I brought the Knicks into the mix.
Bring them back into the mix. Bring them again.
I mean, there's a lot to mix in here.
Bing bong.
This is a very full Monday day. Monday morning. You got the Rangers in the mix. The only team, you can't bring the Cowboys into the mix because they don't belong with you know, Winter's Day in New York. You can't bring the Islanders into the mix. But other than that, everyone is welcome. The Knicks, the Rangers, the Jets, the Giants, the Mets, right? They're all, come on in. Welcome. The water's warm.
How about the Mets, though? I mean, at some point, we got to spend some time on the Mets. Are you kidding me right now?
Well, we're on the verge, and I guess it could happen at any moment. And you know what's really great?
If someone could someone have some balls and say it's going to get done too?
No one will say it.
Like,
no
step one, up. No,
it looks like we're leaning in the direction that Max Scherzer is going to get done. By the way, did you see what they're offering? $42 million a year?
Yep.
Don't you kind of love that, though?
I love it.
Right?
Well, look what they offered. I mean, Trevor Bauer, same deal. I mean, they offered him, what was it, three at 105?
Yeah.
First 2 years being 40 a year?
Yep.
And the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
And they offered Gausman, apparently, more than he wound up getting with Toronto.
Yeah, but that seems like, I mean, that's what, like, Steve Cohen's going to spend it now. Like, he's going to make sure deals get done.
I think that not getting Steven Matz and Steven Matz's agent has pushed Steve Cohen to say, you know what? Screw all of you. Now you watch what happens.
Well, yeah. I mean, now it makes sense, though. I mean, the fact that you didn't bring back Syndergaard, you let him walk. They look like they're going to sign Stroman. They wanted to bring Matz in. But, I mean, if this was the plan all along, where we're going to, like, that whole conversation surrounding Max Scherzer last year, that he didn't want to play in New York. I mean, the more you read about it, it was, no, it's not that he didn't want to play in New York. He wanted to stay in the National League, and there was no way Washington was going to trade him to the Mets.
Deal him to the National League East, right.
I mean, he lives in Jupiter, which is not far from Port St. Lucie. So, I mean, this is, you're going to offer him 42 a year. How do you say no to that if you're Max Scherzer?
Doesn't sound like he's going to.
He better not.
It looks like you're going to add Escobar, Canna.
Marte,
best center fielder on the market, right? And then you're going to add, you know, I mean, just a Hall of Fame pitcher. Very exciting.
You're telling me right now, we have those three, you add Scherzer, and you bring in Buck Showalter as your manager, I don't have one negative thing to say.
Well,
not one.
There's not. There's nothing right now. Billy Epler, Steve Cohen, we'll see what they do with the manager spot, but it's good. It's very, very good. All right, so let's spend a couple minutes on your Jets, and then we can kind of just get to NFL calls. We don't need to specify the Jets or the Giants. The Jets, I thought they ran the ball yesterday. I thought the defense showed up. But again, you know, you mentioned Daniel Jones with the Giants. The one thing you want to see, like, I would feel better, and I think you would feel the same way if I said, boy, Zach Wilson was really good yesterday, but the Jets lost to Houston. But instead, I mean, it's troubling to watch him play. It's like he has no comprehension. A guy could be 4 yards away from him, and he's throwing it at 100 miles an hour behind him. And he can't complete the easy, easy passes. The Jets win. They ran the ball well. You feel good that they got the win. But it's more the same where Zach Wilson, it's hard to argue that he played a good game yesterday.
No, he didn't play a good game. He did not. And you saw a lot of the same stuff from Zach Wilson. I mean, you mentioned the throws that need to be made, like the easy throws, and it's 100 miles an hour, it's high, it's too hard. He can't complete those plays. Then he makes that bonehead play yesterday where, I mean, he decides in that moment that it's a good idea for me to try a shovel pass off Ty Johnson's back, which is a mistake that you can't make. And what's even worse is his knee obviously is not right. It's not. Like, he's still hurt. So you want to see him progressively get better, and then, I mean, showing some stats yesterday what this offense has looked like, and it's, because you mentioned it, here's the thing, though. This is the disconnect between me and you, is when we talk about the Giants, you always go back to the offensive line, and you're not wrong, because their offensive line still has not fixed, right? We keep talking about that. The offensive line is still not fixed. The Jets offensive line is not great either.
No.
Okay. But in saying that, when you had Joe Flacco or Mike White or Josh Johnson, and this is crazy to even imagine, that without Zach Wilson, the Jets are almost 440 yards a game, which is they have the most yards a game in the NFL since week 8 without Zach Wilson.
And then you went up against a horrendous defense yesterday, and he was bad.
And he was bad. Exactly.
Yep.
Right.
Yet again, here he is after the game on this is a weird soundbite because this is not something you have to hear. I don't know that I've ever heard a quarterback have to make this statement on throwing the ball too hard on short throws.
Yeah, I mean, my mentality in those is to rip the ball, and that's why, you know, I'm not playing timid, and that's why some of those are probably coming in fast, because I'm telling myself just to rip it, you know, play free and let it go. And yeah, I got to adjust, and, you know, I will. I'm going to work on that with those guys, but that's why, you know, some of them came in like that, is I'm trying just to play fast.
That's weird. Have you ever heard anything like that? A guy that's 4 yards away from him, he's throwing it at 100 miles an hour and often behind him?
I've heard John Daly say it. I'm just going to grip it and rip it.
Yeah, but for a quarterback to say it?
Or Bryson DeChambeau.
Something we have to adjust to? That's a weird soundbite, no?
I get what... Listen, I understand what he's saying is that he's not playing timid. Like, that he's going to go out there and make plays. But that's not answering the question. Like, that... Like, part of what's expected from a quarterback, especially when you take him second overall. And, I mean, there's certain throws that call for certain things. Like, layering throws. Like, okay, this is a throw where I got to take a little bit off of it. Like, I can't have a short slant to my right, and I'm throwing a 100-mile-an-hour fastball that the guy clearly is not going to be able to catch.
But is that something that needs to be, like, learned? It feels very odd to me that that's not something you would just, as a quarterback who's been a quarterback for a long time at a Division I offensive power in BYU, that you would not be able to come in and say, like, okay, guy's 5 yards away from me, I'm not throwing it 1,000 miles an hour.
No, some guys struggle with that.
Yeah?
Yeah, you've seen quarterback. I mean, Cam Newton struggles with that. Mike Vick used to struggle with that. I don't think Daniel Jones is great at it.
I don't watch Jones and think to myself, God, the guy's 5 yards away, he's gonna you know, throw him so he removes a finger, though.
No, but listen, yeah, you're right. This is worse, but I think that this, I mean, it's something that, It is a skill that some quarterbacks are better than others at. Like the ability to, I mean, they call it layering throws. You know what I mean? Like, okay, this throw calls me to take a little bit off of it. Like, apparently he's not at that point yet.
No, apparently
he has. Which is a problem.
A long way to go to be the quarterback that you're hoping he gets to be.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
How could you not love Adele?
Rich Paul, stop it. Come on, Adele.
You a little jealous?
I'm real jealous.
You have a little. Beautiful wife.
Oh, she's gorgeous. Have you heard her sing, though? Oof.
No? She doesn't sing like Adele?
No.
No?
It's awful.
That's unfortunate.
I say to her all the time, how can something so beautiful sound so terrible?
How could you say that to your wife?
Because she knows. She knows it. It's. She opens her mouth to sing, and the song is completely just ruined.
So then don't sing. But think about
what
she
does well. But she can't help herself.
So she's one of those, she's a bad singer, yet she wants and needs and does, in fact, sing?
Yeah, like she'll come to me like, hey, check out this new song I found. And then she'll play it, and she starts singing. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're ruining the song.
I can't appreciate the song if you're ruining it. You're ruining it. It's brutal.
That's
she does
terrible.
Everything else really well.
I'm
Dan,
sorry.
Like everything.
Very
sing.
Sorry to hear that.
Oof.
I didn't mean to put you down a road that was going to lead to this. I apologize.
No. Listen, it's fine. She knows. We've gone through it.
She know, like, but she knows she's a poor singer.
She knows. Yeah. Like she won't even like. I can't even take her to go do karaoke. She's that bad.
She can't even do karaoke.
No.
Wow. Has she heard my best of? Maybe that would inspire her a little bit.
No, I mean, she...
Good time!
Yeah, she's not even close,
keeping your head above water.
She can't even compete with
that. Kenny Galladay. Because we are, if nothing else, a singing kind of show.
Yes.
Everybody!
Corey Davis.
I'm enjoying taking the
big contract of Corey Davis.
I love your reaction every time you hear.
We're like the Tone Rangers. That's what we are. We're like the Tone Rangers.
We're just like the Tone Rangers. Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know what? Maybe our show is not helping her and her, because she wants to sing. It's obvious she wants to be able to sing. And she does when she hears something she likes, and she's probably inspired by what we do. We're like The Voice, this show. And she wants to be part of what we put on the air every day.
She's jealous. That's fine. And I'm happy that she's motivated to try to make herself better, but there's no making this better. There's nothing you could do to make this better.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. All right. New York football, yesterday, at least for one day, better. People want to talk about it. 1-800-919-3776. Why am I getting the stop sign from you?
Well, can I ask just one quick question before we start taking these phone calls?
Yeah.
And again, it's a win. We'll take it. Right? I'm not going to complain about a win. But why would you go into a game with a field goal kicker
he's terrible,
that's not very good, that you don't trust to kick a 33-yard field goal? Like, if you don't trust him to kick a 33-yard field goal, why is he still on the team?
I don't have the answer for that. He's not good.
You end up burning two timeouts. You bring him on the field. Nah, 33 yards. We can't trust him. Let's bring the offense back. And we'll go for it on 4th-and-1. And then you have the Elijah Moore catch gets challenged. And how many minutes did that take? And then you come out of the challenge and you have to take a timeout out of the challenge. For what reason? Why are we taking a timeout?
It was brutal. The Jets, the Giants too. They're like management. It's just it leaves a lot to be desired. Although they were outdone yesterday by Cleveland, who has 12 guys on the field, takes a timeout to avoid it. They come back, and they still have 12 guys on the field. They get banged for a 5-yard penalty at a first down for Baltimore. How does that happen?
It makes you feel better. I will say it makes you feel better.
I don't know. It makes you shake your head. Like, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars to have an understanding of what you're supposed to do. 12 guys. Okay, it's recognized. We have 12 guys. Let's get a timeout. They get the timeout. You come back. You kind of freshened off. You see where you are. 12 guys again. Too many men on the field. First down, Ravens.
Yeah, they won't call it this time. They saw we had 12. We called a timeout. Now they won't think we'll come back with 12.
They never think we were so dumb that we would come back with the same 12. Let's do it again. Coach, you want to run the 12 guys on defense? Yes. Yes, let's do that again. All right, let's get to your calls. 1-800-919-3776. A very happy. And I found out on Saturday, Rick, he's going to be a dad. Cullum in the Bronx. Good morning, Cullum.
Yeah, Dave. So good morning. I am going to be a father. I have a name, and I would say I was trying to convince my wife I did want to name him Dave. Not because of you, but I do love the name.
Well, how could you not?
Hasselhoff, yeah, I get it.
But I want to talk about the Giants, and we've got to get into it. And I love when the Giants win, because David's happier. The show is just better when Dave is happy and when Dave is cheerful. It's just, it flows better. Everything is just better in the world.
Well, that's very nice, Cole. Very nice.
The things that I noticed with the Giants game and everything is, if Patrick Graham had a decent pass rush, this defense would be probably top five in this league. I love Patrick Graham. I love what he does. He deserves all the credit in this game. He made an unbelievable scheme with that secondary, even though they were still down a few players with Logan Ryan and having rookies playing, having rookies stepping up, making plays.
Well, think about it. Also, call him, right? Adoree Jackson went out during the game, and then Darnay Holmes went out during the game.
Exactly. He coaches extremely well, and I hope they're able to keep him on for next year. I don't know what's going on with this, but the whole thing with Daniel Jones, and Rick said it the best with, you know, you have Justin Herbert, you have, you know, Joe Burrow, and you can see the eye test tells you right off the bat that these guys are successful and going to be good. Daniel Jones looked really good in that rookie year, and he's been down and down and down ever since that. And I really believe that I don't know with Daniel Jones. I'm not sure, and I agree with you guys, but it's clear to me that the biggest issues is an organizational problem, is they're not doing the right thing. Dave Gettleman is atrocious. We all know that. But they're not doing the right thing with coaching staff developing him, and they're not doing the right thing with coaching staff and general manager to put him in the best position to succeed. And I don't think, you necessarily need a phenomenal top five quarterback to win a Super Bowl and to be a great team, because we saw it with Eli Manning. If you give a guy who is above average quarterback, you give him a very good offensive line, you give him above average playmakers, you don't need phenomenal playmakers, you don't need a phenomenal running back in the second round, you don't need all of that. You need a really good offensive line, and you need a defense that can give you a lot of plus territory plays and keep you in the game when you're not playing as you're at your best. We need to fix the offensive line, and we need to get a pass rush. Other than that, if that gets solved, this Giants team would be great, in my opinion.
Oh, they got a long way to go. Coleman, congratulations on the baby and the Giants win and all of it. But the offensive line is awful. They might not have a quarterback. This is not a quick fix. They are. I know they're 4-7. I know they got the win. But even in the wins, they don't look good. They're far from successful here, in my mind.
No, but we talked about this last week, and I made the point. Is how many years? We've been having the same conversation for how many years?
Five.
I mean, the Giants have no pass rush, and their offensive line's not good.
I don't know how it's possible. You know who and I don't think the Giants will pick high enough to get this kid. That Hutchinson from Michigan, oh, my God.
He was a stud.
I mean, he's sensational.
Yeah, I mean, that defensive line did work for Michigan. But, I mean, Cullen makes it sound so easy. Like, oh, yeah, you don't need a great quarterback to win. All you need to do is have a great offensive line, which, again, for how many years they haven't been able to do, and get a pass rush for how many years they haven't been able to do.
Right. They haven't rushed the passer in forever. The offensive line has been awful. I mean, it was the mantra of Dave Gettleman when he took the job.
And you went out and spent money. It's not like you're in the spot where, like, you have all this money to spend. Like, hey, so we go in this offseason, we spend a bunch of money, we solidify the offensive line, add some pass rush, and we'll be good to go. You have no money next year.
No, you're gonna have to build through the draft. Now, fortunately, if you have a competent guy, you have a lot of draft equity and a lot of draft capital. Hopefully, you can change it quickly, because you do think you have a left tackle. And other than that, you know, again, I it's hard for me to believe that Pert is going to be the answer, because you won't even play him in a season that's lost at right tackle.
Yeah, I just don't understand how you go into a game yesterday. Your defense plays as well as it plays. You force, you know, four takeaways, and you only score 13 points. Jalen Hurts couldn't have been worse. I mean, he was awful yesterday.
And you still
had less yards than the Eagles. How was that? I don't get how it's possible. I don't get it.
They're not good. They are not a good football team. Now, 98.7 ESPN giving away up to $2,000 every week of the football season with the Pigskin Payout. Your faith in Gangrene and Big Blue is your ticket to cash in. So be listening in the 7 o'clock hour today for your chance to win. We're raising the stakes with our show, DiPietro and Rothenberg, and the Michael Kay Show, only on 98.7 ESPN, your home for football. I don't remember his name. RJ probably remembers his name, but the gentleman yesterday that picked on Friday or on Wednesday on this show, he won, and he was tweeting us continuously throughout the game, I guess very nervous and understandably so, but he won $1,000. $1,000 from our show.
What did I tell you? Things are happening, Dave. The tide is turning for us. Patriots cover. Nice, easy cover for us.
Yep.
Knicks are winning. Atlanta's on a 7-game winning streak. We go in Atlanta. We knock them off. Mets are making moves. Jets win. Giants win.
It's all happening.
John Mooney. The Islanders turned around.
John Mooney is the gentleman's name. He was $1,000 richer thanks to us. Really, thanks to us.
Here's the other thing, though, too. Which would aggravate me a little bit, but again, we're not talking negative about wins, is you get the ball at the end of that game. There's a minute and 34 seconds left, and the Eagles get the ball back.
No timeouts. None.
They get the ball back with a minute and 11 seconds left.
Yeah.
you ran two plays and used 9 seconds.
Well, how about that? But they get the ball with no... First of all, the punt is awful, so they start at their own 35-yard line. They go one play for 5 yards out of bounds. Then they run the next play. It took them two plays with no timeouts, and all of a sudden you're like, they're not in panic mode anymore. They have plenty of time.
Plenty of time. Like, plenty of time.
Again, I'm not complaining about the win. I'm thrilled with the win. But even in the wins with these teams, it's difficult. Like, you see the struggle that, in fact, it is for the Jets and the Giants.
Well, yeah. I mean, you had Gainwell goes for 16, gets out of bounds. And then, I mean, that deep shot down the sideline goes off Rager's face mask. It should have been intercepted by Julian Love. He had a couple chances in that drive, though, to end it. Julian Love had the ball in his hands. Should have intercepted that ball. And then McKinney almost intercepts the ball that was thrown for Rager again. And then that one that goes, there's no excuse for that, down at the goal line.
The one at the 1 yard line?
It's embarrassing.
No, it's embarrassing. It really is. But you know what? That's not our problem. We'll let Philadelphia Sports Talk handle that today. Let's go to Nick in Babylon. Nick, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
You guys are hilarious. I'm not complaining about the win. I'm not complaining about the win. And then all you do is complain. You are complaining, all right?
Not
you
complaining about the win. Thrilled with the win. So, Nick, let me ask you this.
You're whining.
You know what? No, we're not whining. We're not whining. So we can't assess the way the game went down and still enjoy the win?
You've done nothing but complain. I'm not complaining, and then you do nothing but complain. Let me get to my point, please. How are you going to judge Daniel Jones? Let's take a look at this offensive line. Solder and Hernandez have to be the two worst players at their positions in the National Football League. Scorer and Price were practice squad pickups. They weren't even backups on their team. That's 80% of your line should not be playing in the NFL anyplace. And who was he throwing to yesterday? Myriak? You heard of Myriak, right? Before yesterday?
You know, we're
still
complaining.
Had Galladay played. Slayton played.
We're complaining. Evan Engram played. Slayton played. Galladay played.
That's no? All I hear about is how much talent. All I hear about is how much talent they have on the offensive side of the ball.
Saquon Barkley played.
When is it going to show up?
I mean, horrible call. So what is he looking for from us? Just to come on the air this morning, 5 o'clock. Giants were dominant yesterday. Phenomenal yesterday. Couldn't be better in the game yesterday. Is that what you want?
No, he wants you to be a Daniel Jones apologist is what he wants.
I watched
the
game.
Daniel Jones has a bad offensive line and no weapons. That's what he wants you to say.
I said to you earlier today that I think, listen, I'm hardly sold on Daniel Jones. And if you are, then I don't know what you're watching because there are tremendous questions about him. Do I think they've done him any favors with the offensive line? None. None. That being said, they won the game yesterday. So you're pleased about that. But I don't understand how you could watch the Giants yesterday and just come on the air today and your takes would just be all rosy and beautiful. Like, oh, what a great win. It was a great win, and they were very flawed in getting the victory.
Well, he just told us we were whining, and he just came
and then
on
all
and
he
said
did was complain.
The offensive line stinks, and he's got no one to throw the football to.
Yeah, and the no one to throw the football to, I'm sick and tired of it. Because Slayton played. Engram played. Galladay played. Saquon played. There was one play, I don't know how closely you listened to the announcers yesterday, but they ran this screen pass to Barkley, and he went out of bounds, a little shy of the line of scrimmage, right? So they lost like a yard, yard and a half, something like that. And Schlereth says, he's like, this is what they have to do. This is the important thing. Get the ball into the hands of Saquon Barkley. It's vital. It's so important. And he's just going on and on like, they lost a yard on the play. Like, this is what you have to do. You got to get him touches. He's dynamic. He's a difference maker. I'm sorry. And I know that he's still recovering, and I get that, but he has not lived up to what you had hoped he would be. He hasn't.
No. No, great rookie year, and then, I mean, with the injuries and everything else. I mean, Dave, he had one big run yesterday, broke one for 32 yards. Outside of that, he went 12 carries for 8 yards. So one big run,
yep,
and then 12 for 8 yards. That's not, I mean, that is not what you're looking for. He's supposed to be your most dynamic offensive player.
He's not?
And he's not.
Yes or no? I know you're big on the yes or no question. Is he dynamic?
At the moment, no.
No. He's not?
No, he's not. I mean, and I get it. Yeah, I mean, you would like to get the ball in his hands as much as possible. But there has to be, I mean, that's great in theory, but once he has the ball in his hands, he has to make things happen. And 12 carries for 8 yards is not making things happen.
Mm-mm.
It's not.
No. And it's still, listen, again, it's honest assessment. He dances. He just dances. He can't help the line of scrimmage.
No, he can't help it.
That's who he is.
There's something to be said about a good hard, you know, 4 yard run on first down.
There was nothing there, but I got 3.5 yards. Right?
There's something to be said about that. There is.
Yeah.
And then it all trickles down because you're right. Your offensive line, I'm not going to make excuse. The offensive line's not good. It isn't. And Andrew Thomas had a holding penalty yesterday that cost you. And then the scorer had the false start that cost you down. It's instead of 3rd and 2, it's 3rd and 7, which screws up your drive. You got to settle for a field goal. So those things happen. But still, I mean, I don't think the offensive line is bad enough where the offense should be this awful. It shouldn't.
It's really terrible. Sean Plunkett on the Twitter, I think he's figured out something. He said, that was obviously Dave Gettleman disguised as Nick from Babylon.
Well, part of this is on Dave Gettleman, too, for drafting him with the 6th overall pick. That's part of the problem.
He is dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. Let's go to a guy that just adores the Jets and must be in a great mood today. That is Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. It's nice to get a win. You take it with a grain of salt. No, nobody apologizes when you win a game in the NFL, especially on the road, even against a team that may be more atrocious than you are. But at the end of the day, you know, the defense stepped up against, once again, a bad football team. It looked like they would get their doors blown off early when they were down 14-3. They held them to 45 or 50 yards in the second half. They ran the ball really well. You know, a couple of Elijah Moore made plays, Berrios made plays. You know, Quincy Williams is all over the field. But what did I really learn yesterday? They still had game management problems. The head coach still is indecisive on certain things. But the most important thing, and I know you have to shake off the rust, I'm not being hard on the kid. It seems like after sitting, he didn't learn much.
Mm-mm.
He really didn't. He still has a hard time on the short to intermediate throws. Okay, I mean, that the couple of screen passes were 10 yards over people's heads. He made a horrendous decision on that interception. I mean, I don't know what he was thinking there. And he has his personal quarterback coach in his ear. And that's the type of mistakes he made. Listen, I still think the kid could be good down the road. It's just, you know what? I hope I'm proven wrong. And I don't know if you guys would agree with me. I think you will. This whole quarterback thing was handled wrong the day they drafted him. He should have never been handed the keys. And now, to be honest with you, I think since the summertime to now, he's regressed. And the reason he's regressed is because the Jets put him in a position to start Week 1. That was the biggest mistake they made. Let's see what happens in the next 6 games. It was baby steps yesterday, but he didn't show me anything to make me feel any better than before he got hurt.
No, the best play for him yesterday was the touchdown run. I mean, that was...
Well, he did hit... No, I agree. But Cole and Moore over the middle in the second half, he made throws, but he was behind them. But I still don't know, you know, I got to see him make growth. But in one defense, and I've been really tough on LaFleur, he knew what he was dealing with Wilson in the second half for the most part, and they relied on the running game because they were playing a really bad team. These next 6 games, he's not going to run for. They're not going to run for 150 yards every week, and they're not going to be able to hide Wilson. So Wilson's going to have to make plays, and I don't think he's ready to make them.
Boy, if you, and thanks for the call, Iron. Happy Thanksgiving. If he finishes out the season and you don't see any improvement, you'd go into next season. I mean, just very concerned.
But how can you expect improvement though? I mean, when he was healthy, he struggled. He comes back, and he's clearly not healthy. Definitely tweaked his knee, limping off the field. So now, when he was healthy, he was struggling. So you're gonna tell me now that coming back and not being 100%, he's gonna make strides moving forward? How?
No, I don't think that he necessarily is. But I think that would upset me if I was a Jets fan. That an entire rookie season is gonna go by the wayside, and I'm not gonna have any answers about my young quarterback.
I mean, we're sitting here talking. Like Ira brings up, he had that one. It was probably one of his better possessions when they got bailed out by Blacklock taking stupid penalties, and they ended up scoring the touchdown he runs in. But you're praising him for throws that a second overall pick should make in his sleep. Like, oh, he hit Moore. Moore was wide open, sitting down in the zone. I mean, come on. Those are not throws that we should be praising
but
Zach Wilson for making.
This is what we do. When it's a guy of that caliber and a guy that's taken second overall, we dissect anything, and anything that he does decently well, you're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. That's what you want to do?
I'm sitting here looking at my notes. I mean, Moore breaks off his road, finds a soft spot in the zone for 22 yards. Okay, great. You made that throw. Then Moore's 16-yard catch run. Throw was low. Moore makes a good catch. Then he has Griffin open in the back of the end zone, and the ball is low. I mean, it would have been a good throw. It would have been a great catch. Ball hits him in the hands, but it's low. It's not, I mean, it's not, it's an okay throw. And they end up getting bailed out because of two stupid penalties. But still, there's too many of those throws.
At this moment, Zach Wilson is not a very good NFL quarterback. And you'd hope that by next season, he'd be a better version of what he is right now. But the answer is we don't have the answer.
And then he fumbles. And then luckily, I don't know what the hell Roy Lopez is doing. He tries to pick it up instead of falling on it. He kicks it out of bounds. And then Amendola misses another field goal. Surprise, yeah, surprise.
That's what he does.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.